Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A. It's the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. It's the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. G'day friends, it's Pastor Willie Mawala, the pastor of the Para Vista Seventh-day Adventist Church here in beautiful Adelaide, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Thank you for joining us. If you're in the car or if you're at home, wherever you find yourself at this hour, may God bless you, and we hope that you would spend the next few moments with us here on our live show here tonight. I'm here in the studio with my co-host, my fellow colleague in ministry, Pastor Brenton Wilkinson. Pastor Brenton, good to have you once again.
Nice to be back.
Yeah, good to have you back, mate. And good that here you're on the mend. So we're back to normal, our Monday slot.
We are indeed.
And for those who you may have just bumped into this radio station, we get to host this show live across the country, 5 p.m. Adelaide time. So if this is a regular commute for you from home, Brenton and I normally do the Monday afternoon time slot, and we always love to have you join us. So as always, we always like to kick off Monday with introducing the theme for the week, and tonight's no different. So our theme tonight, Pastor Brenton, are the Ten Commandments relevant to the third millennium?
Yes, that's an interesting one, and we will share some interesting information on this one.
Well, I'm glad you're in the hot seat, Pastor Brenton, because you take the bulk of the teaching, and I do the little side on this side of the desk.
It all works to the Lord's glory.
All for the glory of God. Amen. Yep. So it's Pastor Will and Pastor Brenton in the studio tonight. And as always, we always like to say, if you are able in the next few minutes or next hour to
send us a text.
We always love to hear from you, our lovely listeners out there. And as we always like to say, we like to give you a shout out because we love to hear from all of you all across the country. So our number, and again, if you haven't got the number in your phone, we'd really want to encourage you to store it, 0488 80811. That's the number if you want to connect with us, but that's the number also, more importantly, for our book offer, which we will promote in a few moments' time. So again, so this is the theme, 10 commandments relevant to the third millennium. And our tonight's big question is actually the theme. Are the 10 commandments relevant to the third millennium? So you may have had a question about the 10 commandments. You may have seen stuff on YouTube. You may have had conversations with your friends or your family circle about the relevance of the 10 commandments. And so tonight we're going to be introducing the topic, and our team will be looking at various aspects of this particular theme. So we'll get into that a little later on in the show. But before we do that, we always like to kick off our show with what we call our World Watch segment. So Pastor Brenton, I wanted to share about Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's recent trip to a mosque in Sydney.
And I'm curious about what is a cultural Catholic.
We'll get to that in a moment. So this was just posted on ABC's website in the religion and ethics section there earlier this morning. And so this is the title of the article. And look, we're not going to read the whole thing, but you get a general gist of it.
Idea of what it's all about.
This is what it is. It's actually an opinion piece from a Muslim, a practicing Muslim in Australia. So this is the title. This was not our finest hour. A Muslim's reflection on the incident at Lakemba Mosque.
Ooh.
And so let me just give you the opening paragraph to give you an overview. On the morning of Eid al-Fitr, I think I'm pronouncing that.
Yes.
The most joyous day in the Islamic calendar, something troubled unfolded at Lakemba Mosque in Sydney. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke had come to join thousands of Australian Muslims in marking the end of Ramadan. They sat on the floor as guests of the Lebanese Muslim Association, and within 15 minutes, a small number of worshippers began heckling, calling them, quote, genocide supporters and demanding they leave. As a Muslim living in Australia, I feel compelled to write, not because the pain over Gaza is not real, it is, but because what happened that morning was unfortunate politically, counterproductive strategically, and by the standards of our own faith, inappropriate. So there's an opinion piece on ABC's religion and ethics section there of their website. And this opinion piece, look, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just scrolling to the gentleman's name whose opinion piece is from. It's from Mohammed Arafuddin, I believe, and he is a Sydney-based IT professional, and he's a writer and Muslim community voice, and he's had various articles published, etc. So, look, the general gist of it, he's saying, look, not our finest hour, could have handled things a bit different. And so he's kind of doing his best to say, look, you got to understand the context. People are hurting. People are angry. And so here is Anthony Albanese walking into the mosque with a big smile, thinking everyone's going to pat him on the back and give me flowers. And I think he probably knew, I guess, the reception he was going to receive, but he went in there nonetheless. And so the reason I wanted to share this, Pastor Brenton, is love to hear your thoughts on this, but I don't know, just something that's happened recently, something that's very real in our backyard here in Australia. And maybe some of the talking, some of the points that I think, I guess just very briefly, I guess the lessons learned. And I guess as I read the article, I kind of put myself in this situation, not as a prime minister, but someone representing, let's just say I'm representing our faith group, a pastor, a minister, and you're going into these, these very sensitive engagements, events where there is hostility. How would you, and I read the article, I said, man, that would have been a tough day for him. I mean, it's part of the job being a politician is to be in these very, so let me just maybe a couple of bullet points, maybe surrounding this, this event. There was obviously deep community anger over, our government's foreign policy. There's a large segment of the Muslim population feel that they could have, we could be doing a lot more for the Palestinians, for the Palestinian effort, so to speak. There's definitely disengagement. There's a lot of Muslims in living in Sydney and in across Australia who do not trust the government and don't believe that it has its best interests at heart. And I guess really this also was magnified times 100 by just by virtue of social media, Pastor Brennan.
Oh, for sure.
People had their phones out and it was going viral within within minutes.
It would have gone viral really quick. I do remember reading it about it. It wasn't on social media. It was one of the news networks. I just didn't bother to examine it too closely.
Yeah.
The government's always in a difficult situation. I understand their concern over the way Palestinians are being treated in Gaza and other parts. Conversely, we're only 2 months removed from a massacre in Bondi.
Correct.
Regarding the Jews.
Correct.
Now, since that time, there have been statements made by the Prime Minister and by others in regard to that. But in some of the cases, they've not even, I don't believe they've given due diligence or due respect or consideration to what the Jews suffered here. So on one side, you've got the Palestinians who are suffering. On the other side, you've got the Jews who certainly did not deserve to have their people massacred.
Yep.
Where's the balance in all of that? I don't know.
Yep.
It's all I can say is, thankfully, we're Christians in the sense that there's only one person who can change a person's viewpoint, their global viewpoint, their world viewpoint. That's Jesus Christ.
Yep.
He's the only one who can change them.
If I could skip. And, go ahead.
I was talking last week, as late as Wednesday last week, to two ladies who attended our church. We're running a plant-based food program at the church last Wednesday evening. These two ladies, they live in Norwood and they're both of Lebanese extraction. And I got to talking to them and I eventually had prayer with them before they left and they were explaining to me how concerned they were about their loved ones who were back in Lebanon. They lived in Tripoli and they said that the Israeli warplanes pass over their homes every day on the way to Beirut, bomb Beirut.
Yep.
It's on for young and old over there. It doesn't matter which side you support. This is no play acting.
Yeah.
Israel is determined to wipe Hezbollah out. Mr. Albanese, I would have thought between him and Tony Burke, they would have looked at the global situation at the moment.
Mm.
They may have done it in good faith, and I think we have to accept that they probably did. But seriously, given what's going on in the Middle East at the moment, walk into either a Jewish synagogue
yep.
or a Muslim mosque today,
yep.
As an Australian, you are going to probably yep. find the atmosphere less than welcoming.
Yep, exactly. Hey, if I could just jump back to the article just to right at the end there, Mohammed's kind of...
Yes, what did he say?
He's summarising, I guess, the whole experience. And he's saying here, there's a section right at the bottom of the article, before we judge, let's understand. That's yes. the subheading.
Oh, yeah.
He says,
yeah.
I would be doing a disservice to my community if I did not also ask you to understand the human beings behind those angry voices.
Sure.
Many of them are ordinary Australians with families in Lebanon and Gaza. Well, they've spent
exactly
months.
Exactly what I've just been
yep,
saying.
Yep. They have spent months watching the news, making desperate phone calls and receiving devastating messages from relatives living through bombardment and displacement.
Yeah.
Some have lost siblings, parents and cousins
yes.
and buried their dead from a distance, unable to even grieve in person. When you carry grief like that across a Ramadan and then you see the Prime Minister walk into your mosque, the pain does not always emerge as measured political commentary. Sometimes it comes out as a cry. This is not an excuse, but it is a context that demands acknowledgement.
Oh, I think so.
And I think we can all agree with that.
I would agree. I stand by the comments I just made.
Yeah.
At this particular point in time, if I was the Prime Minister and I walked into a Muslim mosque or into a Jewish synagogue
yeah.
In the next week or so, I could expect there would be some protest, possibly some significant pushback from both parties as to how
yep.
they viewed the way the government is navigating its way,
yep.
if I can put it that way, through this crisis that's going sure. on in the Middle East
yep.
at the moment and has been going on since
yep.
October 7, 2 years
yep.
ago.
So look, our thoughts and our prayers are with all those who are deeply impacted by the ongoing conflict in the
sure.
Middle East. We want to say that we hope that there can be more dialogue and more engagement, and I think that's probably what they
more understanding yep. on our part. I think of the pain and suffering
yep,
these
definitely.
People are going through. Unless you've been through it yourself, you really haven't got any idea.
Yep.
Fancy ringing up. Imagine if you rang your relatives up and found that most of them were dead because they've been bombed.
Mm.
You can't go and mourn personally.
Yep.
You can only do it vicariously almost from a distance.
Yep. So that's our World Watch segment.
Sure.
And look, obviously there's more to share in that. And obviously it's an ongoing conversation in the Middle East
yes,
and
it is.
Particularly with the US and Iran and all that is unfolding. Look, we're living in a hostile world. But we thank God that here on Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A, we're offering a biblical perspective, a biblical response to the uncertainty that we have in this world. And so hopefully our content week in, week out is giving you, our listeners out there, hope and confidence that, yes, we live
sure.
in a dark world.
Sure.
We live with so much war and hatred and all of these things that we see on our news outlets. We thank God for the picture that the Bible gives us, and that's one thing we try and do here on Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A.
I think there's one point I'd like to make before we close this segment,
sure.
and that is this. In God's eyes, whether they're Muslim, whether they're Jewish,
mm-hmm.
whether they're atheist, whether they're Christian, God loves them all. In his sight, each and every person on this planet is precious in his
correct.
Sight. And he sent his son to die on Calvary for their sins, whether they believe in it or not.
Amen.
And I think when you're trying to imagine the horror and the trauma that these poor people are going through,
yes.
You've got to recognise that how does God feel about all of this?
Yep.
I don't know whether God cries, but as he looks down from heaven and sees what's going
yep.
on in the Middle East and how these things have, rather than bringing us together, they seem to be having the capacity
yep.
to divide us. What does God see about all
yep.
of that? He sent his son to reconcile, to bring people together, to bring all nations and all religions and people together.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Beautifully put, Pastor Brenton. So there you go. That's our World Watch segment. Let's keep praying for peace in the Middle East and with all
yes.
the what's happening on the political religious stage. We're going to shift gears now and we're going to go to our break. But before we do that, we're going to plug
our book offer.
So tonight is a book that's right in line with our theme tonight. The title of the book is 10 Commandments Twice Removed. And that is a book by authors Danny Shelton and Shelley Quinn. So this book, this book answers critical questions with compelling clarity and biblical evidence. Did the Ten Commandments exist before Mount Sinai? Were they nailed to the cross? How do we demystify Paul's writings about the law and much more content? If you like a free copy, it's retailed at $9.95 and we're giving it to you for free. All you need to do is grab your phone and here's the code. You need to text us the code. So here it is, SA409. SA409. So just text the code, nothing else, nothing more, nothing less, just SA409. Text that code to the number 0488880811. Follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So once again, Ten Commandments Twice Removed. If you'd like a free book for yourself or to give to a friend or family member, you just need to grab your phone and text us the code SA409. Text that to the number 0488880811. Follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you as soon as possible. Please don't go away. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know my Redeemer.
Same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn and the weak, and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory.
Give a shout out. Welcome back. It's Faith FM Drive Time, BQ&A. It's Will and Brenton in the studio. That was Anthem Lights, Because He Lives. Wonderful rendition. We hope you enjoyed that song. In the break, we had a few people call in. Who are they, Pastor Brenton?
Sean Wright.
Mr. Sean Wright.
Crystal Coventry. We have William Amish.
And William Amish.
Yes.
And I believe you know a couple of these are.
I certainly know, yes. William, and I know Crystal. So big shout out from Pastor Brenton.
Big shout out. So thank you, Sean, William, and Crystal. Appreciate you supporting Faith FM and
glad that you are tuning in tonight.
And for the rest of you out there who are listening, blessings to you. So we're starting a new theme. Are the Ten Commandments relevant to the third millennium? Pastor Brenton, walk us through the question of the hour. Are Ten Commandments or the Ten Commandments relevant to the third millennium?
Millennium, you've got it, mate. I won't get you to do it again. Just once will do.
Once, thank you.
Okay, let's look at this subject. Many Christians today, and I think we know this, believe that the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant. It's interesting that the Ten Commandments, if you look at the Deuteronomy version of the Ten Commandments, for those who maybe are listening around Australia and don't know a lot about the Bible, and they know that the Ten Commandments are in the Bible somewhere, you'll find them in Exodus 20, but you'll also find them in Deuteronomy 6.
Yes.
And the Deuteronomy 6 version, which is basically a recitation by Moses or, a recitation by Moses of what the Ten Commandments were, it starts with the words, and these are the words. Now, you will not find the word, folk, Ten Commandments anywhere in the Bible.
Right.
Even though we know them as the Ten Commandments, and every Christian knows them as the Ten Commandments, 10 words is actually the most accurate.
Pastor Brennan, can I get you? Sorry.
Oh,
Luana Stone, my good friend. Luana, we can see you. You text through. Blessings to you, Luana, doing a wonderful work. She's a church member of mine, Pastor Brenton.
Ah, right.
Para Vista Church representing.
Hi, Luana.
Luana, blessings to you and Bo. God bless. All right, back to you, Pastor Brennan.
Well done. Basically.
So you're talking about the two times the Ten Commandments are mentioned in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5.
Exodus, also in Deuteronomy.
Yep.
The 10 words is the more accurate Hebrew description of what they are. Now, the question that Gary has asked us to answer tonight is, are the Ten Commandments relevant to the third millennium? I'm going to start, rather than start with an equivocal yes or no, I'm going to start with a bit of background.
Yep.
God's law, the Ten Commandments, how long has it been around? Now, this is interesting. As you think of the commandments, most people know probably the last six of them reasonably well, don't they? If they know anything about the Ten Commandments at all. Honor your father and mother, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, don't bear false witness, don't covet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Most people know these things, but what about heaven? In one of our sessions that we've done some time ago, you and I, we talked about the origin of sin. Where did sin begin? Well, sin began in heaven, in a perfect environment. And we touched on the issue that God has given human beings and the angels freedom of choice. They can use that choice either rightly or wrongly.
Yep.
So what has this got to do with the relevance of the Ten Commandments? Mm-hmm. Well, as I was researching this subject, I found something interesting, and it's a text you know well. It's from the book of Ezekiel, and it says this. It says, you defiled your sanctuaries by the iniquity of your trading. That's found in Ezekiel 28, verse 18. It's talking about Lucifer, who's the fallen angel who was cast out of heaven, who we now call Satan.
Correct.
And the Hebrew verb for trading is rakal, R-A-K-A-L, and it means to go from one to another. For instance, we don't have them these days in our society, and I don't know whether you've ever come across them. My forebears, or those who are older than me, tell me that in the early days of Australia, you used to have travelling salesmen who used to go around knocking on your doors and selling various things. So that can be one definition of the word ruckle. Do you know what the other definition is, though? It can mean trading in merchandise, or it can mean trading in slandering.
Oh, okay.
What was Satan doing in heaven? He was slandering God's name.
Yep.
Slander, another word for slander for those who may be not terribly biblically literate, is he was telling lies about God. He was gaslighting people. So here we are in heaven, and God actually says about this, you were perfect from the day that you were created until sin was found in you. Sin in a perfect environment. So what does that presuppose, or what does that suggest to us today? It suggests to me, Will, and I'm not sure what it suggests to you, probably the same. It suggests to me that if he was slandering God in heaven, slander or lies is one of the Ten Commandments.
Yep. Correct.
This is interesting. Jesus actually hit the nail on the head even more. When you go to John chapter 8 and you have a look at what he said in verse 44, in talking to the Jews who were disputing with him, he said this about Satan. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. We find that in John 8, 44. It's crystal clear. Lucifer broke one of the commandments.
Correct.
However, we need to perhaps have a little bit of a look at I'm going to give you a couple of statements that may be new to some of you, but these are worth dwelling on. This is a statement from someone who we believe had some great insights into the war that went on in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Ellen G. White, we have presented some of her books mm-hmm. on air. We've had The Great Controversy. We've had Steps to Christ. We've had various other books, but this is what she says. It's just a couple of comments, and I'm interested in your thoughts on it.
Yep.
It says this about the angels in heaven at the time that Lucifer's rebellion was starting to come about, that there was a law came to the angels almost as an awakening to something unthought of. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
It was almost an afterthought. They never given it any thought that there was a law in heaven. Why? Because the principle upon which God wants their worship and ours is based on love. And the principle of love is based on an appreciation of God's character.
Yep.
If God is love, and the Bible keeps telling us over and over and over that God is love, it's an appreciation of God's character that brings about obedience. So it's not a legalistic obedience. We don't keep the commandments because we want to be saved. In heaven, it seems as though that there was a law almost came to them as an afterthought. They never really thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
However, Satan, because of what he was up to, he claimed that angels needed no law but should be left free to follow their own will, which would ever guide them right. That law was a restriction of their liberty. These statements are from a book, I think, called The Story of Redemption.
Right.
Very, very interesting. So we know the end result of that, unfortunately. Satan ultimately and his rebel angels were cast out of heaven, and now that we've got them down here. Now, if you think about the God is love aspect, here's another thought. Why did God not destroy them there and then? Mm. They'd broken his law.
Yep.
And why didn't he destroy them? He went down another avenue because Satan claimed that his methods were an improvement on what God's law was. And because God's law is really a transcript of his character, it's really who he is.
Yep.
God had to give Satan time to reveal himself in his true colors.
Correct.
When do we find that? When did he reveal himself in his true colors? At the cross of Calvary.
Yep.
So there you are. So that's the background. Was there a law? Was there the moral law, as we call it, or some people call it? Was there a law before this world was ever created? And I would say the answer to that is yes, there was. But it had never dawned on the angels because they served God out of love. And Satan was trying to change that and really saying, no, our liberty is being restricted. We are perfect, and our decision-making processes are such that it doesn't matter what happens because we will always do the right thing. But this law, this is just restricting us.
Yep.
However, let's go a little bit further forward. In the book of Genesis, you find several references to the law of God. For antinomians, and for those of you who don't know what an antinomian means, it's basically somebody who believes that the law was done away with. It was for the Jews. It was given at Sinai. It's not relevant today. We don't need to keep it. We're under grace, not under the law.
Yep.
And that's the reasoning that takes place there. However, you find in Genesis 2 and verse 3 this statement, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." So let's start our discussion off here at this point. In the book of Genesis, after the creation of man, God institutes the Sabbath. Correct. The Sabbath, as we know, is the fourth commandment, or the fourth of the words, if you want to use that particular thing. It says he blessed it. Blessed means to he made it a happy day,
mm-hmm.
and he sanctified it, which means it was a holy day. Now, this is worth thinking about, Will, and I'm interested in your comments on this. If the Sabbath was only for the Jews, this commandment, the fourth commandment, starts at creation,
yep.
when there was no Jew.
Correct.
And furthermore, why would God bless something, sanctify it, and then later on say, oh, by the way, I think we made a mistake. We're changing it now.
Correct.
The resurrection is going to be the symbol of what's happening under the new covenant. Correct. God never revokes what he's already put in place, and I think that's worth thinking about.
Correct.
Moving on, Genesis chapter 4, Cain kills Abel. And God says to him, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. He also says that you are cursed. And Cain says, yeah, well, anybody who finds me will kill me. And God says, no, I'll put a shield around you. That's not going to happen. But here again, we find the sixth commandment. In Genesis 2, we found the fourth commandment.
Mm-hmm.
Here we find the sixth commandment. Then in the third example that I'm choosing to use, and I haven't exhausted all of the examples in the book of Genesis, but I am going to use this one. In Genesis 20, verse 6, there's a king by the name of Abimelech. Abraham goes down there to dwell with Abimelech for a while, and his wife Sarah, Abimelech takes a liking for her and basically brings her into his harem. And no, he didn't have a sexual relationship with him, because God appeared to him in dream and said, you're a dead man if you touch this woman. And he said, but Lord, I didn't know that this man was married. So God says to him this, basically. God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. What commandment is that? Commandment number 7.
Mm-hmm.
You shall not commit adultery. Then we find Abraham. Abraham has passed away by this stage in chapter 26 of Genesis. However, God speaks to Isaac, his son, in a dream, and he says this, Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And he basically says to Isaac, if you're as faithful as your father was, and he gives him the same promise, that your descendants are going to be like the sand of the sea. Isn't it sad that what you've got over in the Middle East at the moment is Abraham's descendants?
Yeah.
Ishmael's descendants, Isaac's descendants.
Correct.
And they're fighting, unfortunately. Then you come to Joseph. Joseph, when he was tempted to go down a certain path by Potiphar's wife, said this, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? What I'm suggesting is pretty simple. There is sufficient evidence in the book of Genesis to show that there was a knowledge of God's law, even though it hadn't been propagated in the way that it was done with lightning and thunder and a shaking mountain and smoke and all the rest of it in Exodus chapter 20. What you've got here is a situation where all of these people, and Abimelech was not, as far as I know, Abimelech was not a Jew.
Correct.
He was a foreigner. So then we come finally to Israel just before they reach Sinai, where the Ten Commandments were given. And we find in this in Exodus 16 and verse 28. You remember the story. They're complaining again about no food, so God gives them manna. He gives them very specific instructions. The specific instructions are these. Go out on Friday and collect twice as much. He told them during the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just collect enough for one day, because if you keep it overnight, it'll stink and it'll be full of worms.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, collect enough for Friday and enough for Saturday. Some of them still go out on Sabbath morning looking for it. And this is what God said. How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? This is prior to Sinai.
Yep.
And it's pretty difficult, Will, I think you would agree, to make this statement if you had no prior knowledge of the Ten Commandments or observing them.
Yeah.
So what God's doing, I believe, at Mount Sinai is restating something that they were aware of, but he's doing it in an atmosphere, you could say almost a theatre atmosphere, where they saw God's holiness, they heard God's voice, and all of this is taking place with a mountain that's shaking, there's smoke pouring from it, and all of these things.
Correct.
But remember, they've been in captivity for 400 years. How many days a week do slaves normally work? I can't find anything in my research on this. I would suggest to you they worked every day of the week, 7 days a week.
Right.
Which means the knowledge of the Sabbath had been lost, and probably a lot of the other things in the law had been lost during that period of time. Have you got any thoughts on this so far?
Just generally, I think the thing I just want to insert real quick, if you look at the Ten Commandments as a whole, you know, like you said earlier, it's the law of love.
Yes, so the way it's based on love. The basis is love. It's not legalism or obedience based on I must do this.
Yep.
These ladies that I was talking to last week, they said to me, you know, the church that we go to, one of them said, I don't go to the church anymore because we're told sing this, read this, do that, pray this, all the rest of it. And she said there's no explanation given and there's no opportunity to open the Word of God and read it or understand it for ourselves.
Right.
And I think we as presenters have a responsibility on air to be able to share a little bit of what the Word of God teaches in these areas.
Sure.
So you were saying.
Yeah, I just think when you look at the Ten Commandments, it's, you know, the first four, I've had explained to me, the first four deal with our love for God and our last six.
Yes.
And I just think you don't even have to be a super religious, theological person to get the logic of the argument that we're proposing, that we're saying, yes, they are relevant. I mean, you think about the commandments, it really addresses fundamental human behaviors such as honesty, respect.
Good point there.
Yeah, there's a commandment there: thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal. And so these commandments, Pastor Brennan, they're crucial for maintaining, I guess, a moral and ethical way of living. And
yes,
like who wouldn't want to live in a world, in a culture where people are honest and respect one another and respect a man's, you know, his marriage space, so to speak. So it's quite odd that when people kind of object to the Ten Commandments, maybe sometimes it just maybe pressing them a bit further. So exactly what are you saying? So you don't believe that we should live in a culture that, that is honest to one another and respects the marriage, the sacred marriage union between a husband and a wife. So it's always kind of, I don't know. It's always puzzled me that there seems to be this disdain for God's law, because when you really look at it, it's beautiful and it's meant to protect us.
What did David say?
Yep.
Oh, how I love thy law.
Yes.
I meditated on it all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something interesting that you touched on there. When I was growing up, not that far from this studio, actually, believe it or not, only about 3 km from here is where I spent some of my early years. I wasn't born there, but I spent some of my early years there.
Okay.
What's interesting is that in those days, I could safely say my parents would have known the people in the houses for 5 or 6 houses down the street, both sides.
Wow.
We knew them. Time. If you went away, sometimes your houses would be left unlocked.
Yep.
Would you do any of those things today?
Probably not today.
No way.
No.
So this gives you a bit of an idea. Thou shalt not steal. That's one of the commandments. Is it still relevant in 2026? Mm. You bet.
Yep. Yep.
That's just one point. But it's interesting that God started giving the Ten Commandments to Israel at Sinai by making this statement: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of bondage.
Yep.
Why am I asking you to be obedient to me? Because you know what, guys?
Yeah.
You wouldn't even be here if I hadn't have performed the 10 plagues and brought you out of the land of bondage.
Yes, I love that point. The reason why I'm nodding and smiling so...
Yes, you are. Says,
I remember, Pastor Brennan, when I had my church pastor come and visit me in my home in Belmore, Sydney,
yes,
Pastor Bruce Shields, And I still remember when we looked at Exodus 20 and he made that point emphatically. He said, hey, before God gives them, the Israelites, the Ten Commandments, he says, hey, this is what I've done for you. Now, this is how I want you to live. And I've never forgot that.
No, and I think
that's sometimes we got to put that in front of people when we're talking about this concept, because sometimes people can misinterpret us and say, oh, well, you Christians are trying to put this yoke of bondage upon us. You know, don't you know we're saved by grace and et cetera? And no, when you look at it biblically, the law and the gospel are two sides of the coin.
Yes,
the reason there is the gospel because there was a law initially. So,
but it's always based, on a love relationship. A love relationship would want to be obedient to God rather than find an alternative route.
Yeah,
surely. Yeah, all of those things are very interesting, but what saddens me when I read that is, as you know, around about the same time, when they were given the Ten Commandments, Moses said to them, these are the commandments God has given you. What was their response? All the Lord has said, we will do.
We will do, yeah.
Was it overconfidence? I don't know what it was. But we know today that you cannot be saved by keeping the law.
Yep.
But we also know that if you're in a saved relationship, you do keep the law because it's the Holy Spirit working in you that enables you to keep the law. And it's not a case of I've got to try very hard. No adultery tomorrow. I've left that away. No stealing, no running other people down and all the rest of it. There's too much focus on that rather than the principle. The principle is, do you love God supremely? Yep. Because if you love God supremely, you will be keeping the law because he is living his life out in you. Is it true to say that Jesus kept the law? Yes, because he said in John 12, I think it was, which one of you convinces me of sin?
Yep.
I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, he said a couple of chapters later. And we can do the same because we follow him.
Amen.
That's where we'll stop for now. When we come back, I'm just going to touch very briefly on what happened during the French Revolution. Then we're going to take that jump, as you call it, changing gears from there to 2026, where we just briefly look at a couple of commandments and say, are they still relevant today or not?
Yep. Fantastic, Pastor Brenton. Let's go to a quick break. We want to plug the book one more time.
Yes.
If you missed it the first time around, here it is. The Ten Commandments Twice Removed. That's our free book offer tonight by authors Danny Shelton and Shelley Quinn. If you'd like a free copy, it's a great book. It's a great resource. If you haven't read it, I highly encourage you to text through for the book offer. If you do have one, hey, text through again and give it to a friend. And so the code you need to text us tonight is SA409. Text that code to the number 0488880811. Follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So once again, Ten Commandments Twice Removed by Danny Shelton, Shelley Quinn. If you'd like a free copy, the code is SA409. Text that code to the number 0488880811 and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. Please don't go away. We'll be back in just a few moments. Hello. Apologies. I think we're having some technical difficulties with the music. My sincere apologies to you from our Faith FMT. I think we're going to skip over the music for now, Pastor Brendan, and we will keep moving. So, hey, we are back. Fortunately, we had a bit of a technical difficulty with the music. We do apologize, but we're going to jump right back in. So, Pastor Brendan, we've got a few minutes to go. Walk us through a continuation of this conversation about the Ten Commandments and why is it relevant?
Okay, well, let's move on. What I've done today is present a historical resume, so to speak, of the Ten Commandments. Have we decided that there was a law that was the Ten Commandments in heaven? I believe the answer, even though it's not hitting you between the eyes, studying the history of Lucifer, yes, there was a law in heaven. Did the early patriarchs, going all the way back to Adam, know about God's law? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Did the Israelites, before they came to Mount Sinai, know about the law?
Yes.
The answer is yes, they did. However, moving right on. The French Revolution, there's probably not a lot of people who listen to our program who know much about the French Revolution. But for those who may be new to it, let me share with you. During the period from 1793 to 1794, mm-hmm. there was a period, it was called the de-Christianization of France.
Okay.
What took place during that period of time? They abolished the Gregorian calendar, which is the seven-day week,
yep.
and they instituted a 10-day week.
Oh, 10, okay.
That's one of the things they did. They banned the worship of God
mm-hmm.
during this period of time. I believe that you could not read the Bible or do any of those things. Luckily, this only lasted for a fairly short period of time. They forbade you to take communion or to baptize people. So this was some of an, and I've only covered a little bit of it. They did a lot more than that. But anyway, it only lasted this period of time between 1793 and 1794. That's what can happen in a society when God's law is no longer revered,
right.
no longer held as sacred, and let's do something else. Let's get rid of all this baggage, this mm-hmm. religious baggage, and let's face it, the church of the time was corrupt. There's no dispute that the church
right.
during the French Revolution or prior to it was certainly corrupt in many, many ways. However, I started reading today about a massacre that took place of nuns, unfortunately, in France. And during this period of time, they say that during the French Revolution, approximately 17,000 people were executed. That's
wow.
quite a lot. Most of them, as you know, by guillotine. And this was the society, I think, where the restraint of the Ten Commandments was thrown off. And the result was unrestrained bloodshed of both the innocent and the guilty, because in that period there were innocent people who lost their lives as well as people who who possibly deserved to die. But anyway, let's move on to the time in which we live. It would be very easy to go through all 10 of the commandments, but I've only chosen a couple.
Yep.
And the first one I've chosen because I know Australians love sport. I'm interested in sport myself.
Myself too.
And you too. Now, what does the first commandment say?
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
You shall have no other gods before me. Is that relevant today? Well, let me share this with you. You would probably have never heard this statement before. I'd certainly never heard it mm-hmm. up until I did some research on this. Sport, I've written in my notes, sport can be and probably is one of the gods of Australians. Note this comment by an Oxford scholar, Robert Ellis. Note it carefully, folk, if you're listening around Australia. Sport has taken on the characteristics of religion.
Wow.
And that it may exercise function in the individual, social, and cultural lives, similar to the functions that were once exercised by formal religion.
Right. So this is an Oxford scholar.
Yeah, this is an Oxford scholar, Robert Ellis, who said this. And I take you back to one of Australia's most famous female athletes who won 4 gold medals in track and field. I don't think that's been equaled by any current Olympian.
Who is that?
Betty Cuthbert. You may or may not have heard of Betty Cuthbert.
No.
You got to go back to 1956,
okay.
Melbourne Games, and then 8 years later she repeated the feat in one of these in the Tokyo Games, I think it was. She said this, the poor lady later on in life got multiple sclerosis, I think, but she made this interesting comment. How many gold medals did I say
4.
She won? 4. Nobody has equaled that in the history of Australian track and field that I'm aware of. She said this, I might have won 4 gold medals, but everyone is a winner when they accept Jesus Christ into their life.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's awesome.
We are.
So obviously she was a Christian.
Well, she became a Christian.
Okay.
I'm not sure that she was a Christian at the time when she was doing track and field.
Right.
I've just put, this is food for thought in our sport-mad country, because we are sport-mad.
Yep.
It is virtually a religion.
Mm.
I'll be honest. I was sitting in St. Louis down in North Adelaide here, the ice cream place, yesterday with a couple of young ladies that I'm doing Bible studies with and also my dear wife. And we were eating our ice cream and watching people go to the football. I won't name the teams or anything like that, but the team, they're dressed out in their gear. They got their scarves. They got their hats. They got their beanies. They got the lot. And they're going along to barrack for their team. And, of course, their team, for those who live in South Australia, would know that their team won yesterday. But for some people, it is life and death. No, this is true. This is why the first commandment is so relevant.
Yep.
Ian Chappell, you've probably heard of Ian Chappell. Yeah,
the cricket commentator guy.
Yeah, he's alleged to have said this once when someone, maybe it was after they lost a test match or something, someone said to him, there are worse things. He said there are, how did he put
Someone
it
said there are worse things.
He said, look, winning and losing is not a matter of life and death. And Chappell's comment is reputed to have been, no, it's far more serious than that. So
yeah, there you go.
All I'm doing is touching on a nerve in Australia because we are a sport-mad culture.
Yep.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with sport, but if you put it before God, you're breaking the first commandment. Yep. Is that relevant today in 2026?
Yeah, absolutely.
It certainly is.
Yep.
Now, I moved on to another one, probably one that you wouldn't normally use if you were discussing the 10 commandments. Number three. What does number three say?
Bear false witness. No, take his name in vain.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I'm quoting it. For the Lord will not hold him or her guiltless who takes his name in vain.
Yep.
No, this is not talking about cursing and swearing. It's talking about using God's name loosely. Now, let's be honest. In the society in which you live, how often have you and I heard the same, and I'm careful in making this, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Yep.
How often have you heard people say that in society?
All the time.
It's a glib statement. It doesn't mean anything in particular. Is this taking God's name in vain? I believe it is.
Mm.
There's no need to do that. Remember, Jesus said very, very clearly in the New Testament, let your yes be yes. And your no be your no. And anything more than that, he said, is of the evil one. So I think that's worthwhile for us to think about.
Yep.
The Jews hold God's name in such respect, as you know, that they only pronounce it YHWH.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it? Rather than utter God's holy name, is that relevant today? I suspect so.
Absolutely.
Okay. You shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery. Does anyone seriously in 2026 have issues with having those statutes or precepts in our society? Mm. They shouldn't.
No.
Notice this, though. It is estimated that 20% of marriages will suffer as a result of adultery.
Wow,
it doesn't just ultimately lead to divorce or separation and the splitting up of the family home and the goods because the husband has been unfaithful or the wife has been unfaithful to her husband. All of those things, the consequences beyond divorce are interesting. It leads to depression. It leads to poor self-image. It leads to there's a whole heap of things.
Yep.
Now, why did God give us these things? He gave us these things because he wanted us to live happy, healthy, and contented lives. And so I would suggest to you that as you go through the Ten Commandments, are they relevant today in 2026? I believe they are. I would certainly like to comment on this in closing. And we mentioned it earlier. King David said this, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I've put it should impact every aspect of our lives and transform our behaviour as we marvel at the foresight of these jewels which are for our happiness. They're not a restriction. God bless as we look into the perfect law of liberty. Have you got any thoughts in closing?
Amen.
Because I think we could unequivocally say on air around Australia, are the Ten Commandments relevant in the third millennium? The answer is an unequivocal yes.
Yes. Amen. Pastor Brendan, we thank you for kind of introducing that topic to our listeners out there. And for those who've been with us for this whole hour right to the end, we really do want to say a huge shout out, a huge thank you for tuning in for our live Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A show. So that's Pastor Brendan Wilkinson has started the conversation, and our team will pick it up 5 p.m.
coming up next.
Yes,
during the
absolutely.
Rest of the week.
So tomorrow we do have Pastor Marty and Pastor Justin, and they'll be looking at different aspect of the question, the Ten Commandments. Isn't it enough to love my neighbor?
Good topic.
So Pastor Justin and Pastor Marty, they're going to do a wonderful job there. And just to promote our website, if you want to catch all the latest all the former Drive Time BQ&A show programs that you may have missed, all you need to do is jump on the website faithfm.com.au, and you will be introduced to a wide range of our countrywide, nationwide presenters. So Adelaide is just one team within a host of many teams across the country, and so we're collectively part of the countrywide Faith FM, nationwide Faith FM. So do yourself a favor, jump on faithfm.com.au. We also have an app if you are really wanting to get the latest of what we are sharing from Faith FM. So download the app or jump online, faithfm.com.au, and find all of our content there. So we're going to have to sign out tonight. So please join Justin and Marty as they pick it up 5 p.m. Adelaide time, live tomorrow. Please tell your friends and your family about Faith FM 88.0, and we'll hope to see you next time. But before we do that,
What about our sign-off text?
Our sign-off text, that's right. John 14 and verse 27. It's the words of Jesus Christ, and here is the words of Jesus. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." On behalf of Brenton and myself, may God bless you, and we'll hope to see you next time. God bless.
If I fear, I should come.